Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Proverbs chapter 3. In verse 13, happy is the man who finds wisdom, and the man who gains understanding. For her proceeds are better than the profits of silver, and her gain than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all of the things you may desire cannot compare with her. Do you have wisdom? Do you have wisdom? This is a big question. Do you have wisdom? Happy is the man who finds wisdom. Your quality of life will be determined by whether or not you find wisdom. Why are so many people so unhappy in the world? Really, for that matter, even among Christians. Why are so many people so unhappy? It says right here, happy is the man who finds wisdom. That word happy in the original language does mean happy. There are people who pursue happiness, and they pursue it in ways that are destructive. They think if they satisfy the whims or lusts of their sin nature that they will find happiness. But here it says there is a path to happiness. It's wisdom. You cannot be happy, you cannot be satisfied, you cannot be content in your life apart from wisdom. So, the question is, again, do you have wisdom? It's imperative. Do you have wisdom? It's more valuable than anything that you consider valuable. Do you have wisdom? In Proverbs 8:22, the Word of God says, the Lord possessed me at the beginning of His work. The first of His acts of old. Ages ago I was set up. At the first, before the beginning of the earth. Now what happened there? At first, and this is not talking about me personally, this is talking about wisdom. This is wisdom speaking. The Lord possessed wisdom from the beginning of His work. It was the first of His acts of old. That was wisdom. So the first thing that happened in John 17:24 is that the Father loved Christ. 1 John 4:16 says that Christ is love, God is love, and God is the Word, John 1:14. So Christ is love, Christ is the Word, there is a relationship there. God and the Word are connected. They are actually one in the triune God. They are connected. The first thing that happened was a relationship between love and the Word. The Father loved Christ. The Father loved the Word incarnate. In this, there was wisdom. Ages ago, wisdom was set up at the first, before the beginning of the earth. Well, that happened, the very first recorded thing. The Father loved Christ. The second recorded thing, Ephesians 1:4, He chose us before the foundation of the world. Why? Because the Father loved Christ. He chose us before the foundation of the world. The third recorded thing, Revelation 13:8, the Lamb was slain and this was the foundation of the universe. So we have these three things connected. We have the finished work of Christ. We have the Word of God. We have the love of God. They are not separable. There's a relationship between love and the Word, and the expression of that relationship is the finished work of Christ. That came as the foundation of the world. The two are the same. This is wisdom. This relationship between love, the Word, and the finished work, this is wisdom. That was the very first foundation of act, the first motivation. So wisdom cannot be separated from love. Wisdom cannot be separated from the Word of God. Wisdom cannot be separated from the finished work of Christ. This is wisdom. If any man finds wisdom, he's happy. Do you find love? Do you find the Word? Do you find the finished work? Do you find the relationship between the three of them? You will have happiness in your life if you do. Of course, you have to mix faith with these things because otherwise they will not profit you in Hebrews 4, but this is wisdom. Do you have wisdom? If you're not happy, then I venture to say maybe it's because there's a lack of wisdom. Why are you not happy if you possess wisdom? Maybe you don't possess wisdom. And that's not to condemn, that's to clarify. There's no reason that any person on earth should be unhappy. God gave all the provisions necessary for us to be happy. God gave His love, His Word, God gave Christ, God gives prayer, God gives relationship, God brings comfort, God gives every provision necessary to be happy. He says in John 6:33, "Seek first the kingdom of God and everything will be added unto you." All these things, whatever it is, all these things, in Ephesians 3:20, He goes above and beyond anything you can ask or think. People say, "Well, I'm not happy because I don't have." God says He offers it to you. So why aren't you happy? You see, this thing about wisdom is key. We sometimes underestimate it. We think wisdom is circumstantial. Wisdom is not circumstantial. The application of wisdom is in circumstances often, yes, but wisdom in and of itself is not circumstantial. Wisdom is a relationship. In Proverbs 4:7, wisdom is the principal thing. Principal thing is the word rashith in the original language and means the earliest of first fruits. Well, we just read in Proverbs 8:22 that wisdom was possessed by God at the beginning of all His work. And so wisdom is indeed the earliest of the first fruits, but it also means the highest and most excellent thing. Matthew 22:37-39. God says, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and strength." Then He says, "This is the greatest of the commandments." And then He says, the second one is like it, "Love your neighbor as yourself." The greatest there is a similar meaning to what is here. Principle, the greatest of them all, the most excellent. So loving God, loving your neighbor, in this you find the most excellent thing. In wisdom, that is the most excellent thing. Loving God, loving your neighbor, this is wisdom. But you can't love God, you cannot love your neighbor apart from truth. His Word is truth, so the Word comes in there. Our relationships, in order to be relationships of wisdom, have to have two things embedded in them, the love of God and the Word of God. Those two things are wisdom within relationships, and those two things will establish the finished work as the foundation of the relationship. The love of God and the Word of God. Have you ever met somebody who is a complainer? Somebody who is negative? Somebody who is bitter or angry? Why? Lack of wisdom. It's not just a lack of love and it's not just a lack of word. It's a lack of wisdom. It's a lack of the relationship to love of God, to the Word of God, to the finished work, and the interaction between those three being expressed within that individual. it's not expressed within that individual because there's a lack of mixing faith. It doesn't take a lot. It takes willingness. So when I have this, I have wisdom. But the amazing thing is that wisdom is not just circumstantial. Wisdom is for any circumstance, for any relationship, for any situation, for anything that my life encounters, anything that is my life, wisdom has its place. Wisdom is the foundation of it. It is premier. Just like love is premier, wisdom is premier, love and wisdom cannot be separated. You think people are wise, but if they don't have love, they're not wise. 1 Corinthians 13:1-3 shows us this. I can think I'm the best preacher, the wisest person in the world, but if I don't have love, it amounts to nothing. That's not wisdom. But wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And with all you're getting, get understanding. Understanding is the word bina, and it's a state and faculty of understanding. It's putting things together, not by natural reasoning, but by being put together with the mind of Christ. Therein is understanding. My mind united to His mind. Now, that's not very difficult because we are the body of Christ. We need humility, but if there's humility, the rest of it will follow. Our mind united to His mind. His mind contains wisdom. Our mind, apart from Him, contains nothing. And so, get wisdom and unite your mind with the mind of Christ. Wisdom is the principal thing, the premier thing. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 16. Who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. The word instruct is not a great translation. It can mean instruct, but it doesn't actually mean instruct here. The word there is sumbibazo, and it means to join or knit together, to unite. And it's speaking of Christians as part of Christ's spiritual body. And so, we are united to Christ. So really, you could say, who has known the mind of the Lord that he might be united to Christ? United to his body. Why is there unity within a church? Because the people in the church possess the mind of Christ. Why is there unity amongst churches? Because the churches all individually possess the mind of Christ. The adverse is true also. Why is there a lack of unity? Because the individuals involved do not all possess the mind of Christ. When that takes place, you get disunity, you get division. Now, wisdom is the skillful application of doctrine. That's the simplest definition. Wisdom is the skillful application of doctrine. Now, wisdom being the skillful application of doctrine requires love in order to be wisdom. Apart from love, doctrine will lack God's nature, and it will no longer be doctrine. Instead, it will become the letter that kills in 2 Corinthians 3:6. In 1 Corinthians 8:1, knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. So, if I get doctrine, and I do not have love, then I will have what Habakkuk 2:4 calls an elevated soul, a lifted up soul. I'll uplift my intellect, my emotions, that's actually even more common than intellect, my self-image, that's extremely common, the awareness that I have of things, my conscience, and then also my volition. I'll uplift one of those things. One of those things will be premier in my life, even though I may not necessarily require it. For example, people who are very elevated in their emotions, everything is about how it feels. Let's understand each other's feelings. We have to work out our feelings. I'm going to respond according to how this feels. Or people who are very uplifted in their self-image, okay, how does this make me think about myself? Is this building me up? Is this tearing me down? None of those things have anything to do with anything. You are the body of Christ. Your mind, emotions, consciousness, self-consciousness, or self-image, and volition are all Christ. So how does it make me feel is actually an absolutely irrelevant question, but Satan uses it because the emotions are a powerful part of the soul. Your self-image is powerful, so Satan will attack your self-image. Why? To take you out of the mind of Christ, so that you will lack wisdom. It's amazing to me how often relationships are not relationship, but negotiations. Well, I agree with that. I don't agree with that. Let's all make sure we agree. What do you, and how are you, and what do you think, and what is it? Let's all make sure we agree. I used to know a guy who was always big on, I agree, I don't agree, I agree. And I kept thinking to myself, I don't care if you agree. What difference does it make if you agree? Who cares if you agree? You know what I agree was? A separation of love is what it was. A condition for love. I have to agree that is my condition for love. You're carnal. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It's not a negotiation. It doesn't, I agree, I don't. Or let's make sure we all understand each other. We have to make sure we understand each other. You tell me your thoughts, I'll tell you mine. You tell me your feelings, I'll tell you mine. We have to make sure we understand each other. That's an uplifted soul. Who cares? Honestly, who cares? What is there to understand? You have the mind of Christ, I have the mind of Christ. Anything apart from the mind of Christ is carnality, just put it away. I don't need to understand carnality about me. I don't need to understand carnality about you. Deny yourself, pick up your cross and follow me, Jesus said. He didn't say, let's talk about it so we can understand each other. He didn't say, let's talk about it so we can agree. I'm not saying that talking about things is necessarily wrong. There can be a place for that. But some people are absolutely occupied with these negotiations in relationship. Jesus didn't give a negotiation. He gave a commandment. Love one another as I have loved you. In that you find your relationships. There is wisdom. Don't try to agree or disagree. Don't try to understand people's feelings or make sure they understand yours. It's carnality. It makes no difference. Oh, but to me it makes a very big difference. That's because you don't have the mind of Christ. You're trying to establish your relationships in a negotiation rather than love. The beautiful thing about love, if it's God's love, it's without condition. No negotiation required. It's a way of elevating the flesh. The soul that is lifted up is not upright in him. If I have that, I don't have love. That's not love. Can you imagine Jesus saying to the disciples he came across as he came across them? Peter, you got to get it together before you can come to me. Let's understand each other, Peter. These are my expectations. What are your expectations, Peter? Can you imagine if Jesus had actually said that? If I read that in the Bible, I think I'd close the Bible and just say, okay, that's it. Fortunately, it's not the way things work with God. We need to find wisdom. We need to find wisdom. Who has known the mind of the Lord that he might be united to him? Do you want to find wisdom? Be united to the mind of the Lord. In Psalm 90, verse 12, teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Number, mena. It means count or number, but the idea is allotting something. Our days refers to time in general. And it's really referring to living our moments on purpose with purpose. This is what we deal with in our days. This is what we want to have. Allot purpose to your moments. That concept is so foreign to way too many people. Allot purpose to your moments. Yes, that necessarily means that you will need to have the mind of Christ and you need to keep yourself in the love of God. But John 15:5 says that's a good thing. Allot purpose to your moments. What is the purpose for this moment? Well, I don't know. That's okay if you don't know. Ask God. What is the purpose for this moment? Do you know that this moment has purpose? If you know at least that much, then you will apply your heart unto wisdom, because you don't want to lose the purpose of the moment, which was a gift from eternity with the potential of eternal reward. You don't want to waste it. It's not striving, it's relationship. Have a relationship with Christ and you will find the purpose for this moment. Who has known the mind of the Lord that he may be unified to him? That's where that purpose is found. And so, the psalmist is saying here, teach us to allot purpose to our moments. Now, wisdom will always have eternity in the frame of reference in Ecclesiastes 3:11. Because wisdom comes from a union with Christ, and Christ puts that eternal frame of reference within us. It's the frame of reference he possesses. So wisdom will always bring an eternal frame of reference. In Psalm 111:10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Again, that word, reishith. The fear of the Lord is the highest and most excellent thing regarding wisdom. If I do not have fear of the Lord, will I have wisdom? No. It is impossible. Sometimes people will say fear of the Lord is reverence, it's not actual fear, because perfect love casts out fear. Look at the original language. Find a good Bible dictionary, look at the original language. It says fear. Fear is important. You're not going to, by the way, have reverence if you have no fear. Look at dogs. I think dogs are the perfect example of that. Dogs that respect their owners versus dogs that do not respect their owners. Dogs respect the owners because the owners give off a certain energy, because they carry themselves in a certain way. They recognize the relationship that is present, owner and dog, not owner and coochie, 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 coochie. No, you don't recognize your relationship with that animal. You think it's a stuffed toy. You think it's a baby. It's not. It's a dog. You want to destroy a dog? Treat it like a baby. Cesar Millan is all over that stuff. And so you bring in this confidence. You bring in this understanding of relationship, and the dog responds to it, and the dog doesn't want to cross you. Because the dog has a potential consequential conscience, knowing that crossing you is going to get a big fat no. And so the dog doesn't want to cross you, but it's built into the dog anyway that he doesn't want to cross you. That's a dog's nature. You simply have to understand the dog's nature, according to Caesar, and then you will be able to have a dog that's well-adjusted and fits well into the family. Well, you know, it works like that with us and God. That's built into us. This love for God is actually built into us. This regard for God is built into us. But if we do not understand the relationship between us and the King, then we will not be able to fit into that relationship the way it was designed. He is a King. That's why it's a throne of grace. Because He is a King. I don't cross the King. Things don't go well if I cross the King. I don't cross the King. The King gave a decree. I respect the fact that He's a King. I'm aware of the fact that He's a King. The fact that He loves me does not change the fact that He is a King. The fact that He is kind or patient does not change the fact that He is a King. I respect that fact that He is the King, and this is the principal thing, the key element to wisdom. If people recognize that God is a King, what do you think the world would be like? It'll be a whole lot more like the millennial reign will be. But He's the King now. What do you think your life would be like if you recognize that Christ is the King over your life? I wonder how many people would dare do and say the things they do and say contrary to what God has given. For example, the simplest thing, love one another as I have loved you. How many unkind, impatient, how many intolerant people would there be? How many selfish people would there be? Not a whole lot if they realize that Christ is King over them. Anybody who had any smarts at all did not cross the King. Lucifer did not have a lot of smarts. He thought he could cross the King, and he lost his smarts when he became self-oriented. He thought he could cross the King. It didn't go well for him. It won't go well for a person either. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. In Psalm 25:12, who is the man that fears the Lord? Him shall He teach the way He chooses. That necessarily means in Proverbs 3:5-7 that he does not lean on his own understanding, that he does trust in the Lord with all his heart, that he does seek God in all his decisions, and that he does not enter evil because he's not wise in his own eyes. How do I enter into evil? I'm wise in my own eyes. How did Lucifer enter into evil? He became wise in his own eyes. How do people enter into evil? They are wise in their own eyes. They lack wisdom. There is no such thing as wisdom within a person apart from God. In Matthew 10:28, now this is key. And really this is something that people in leadership positions, everybody really, but particularly people like pastors in leadership positions have to understand. Because of the spiritual battle that we live in, where Satan is still on earth with his demons, warring against God's kingdom, that will have its influence when we lack this element of wisdom. Jesus said there, do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. But rather fear Him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Don't fear people. Fear God. Don't fear people. Fearing people prevents wisdom. That's why it's a snare in Proverbs 29:25. Why fear those who cannot touch you in eternity? Because that's where your life is now in Ephesians 2:6. They can't touch you. So why fear them? Yet people are afraid to lose their reputations. People are afraid that somebody's going to say something to them. People are afraid to take steps of faith. People are afraid of people. It's shocking how many people are afraid of people. It's shocking how many people try to take advantage of the fact that somebody is afraid of them. It's not wisdom. Don't be afraid that somebody might ridicule you for being a Christian. Who cares? They can't touch your eternity except if you respond correctly, they can reward you. So don't be afraid of them. Don't be afraid of somebody giving an evil report about you. Don't be afraid of that. Satan does what Satan does. Don't be afraid of him. God already overcame him. Your faith overcomes the world. You already are protected. Nobody can make any charge against God's elect in Romans chapter 8. You're already taken care of. What's there to be afraid of? Don't be afraid. Nobody can kill you in eternity. They may be able to kill you in time, but not in eternity. And they can't even kill you in time unless God gives the go-ahead. I love that story of those soldiers from battle. They said they could hear bullets going right at them, and then they heard the same bullets going right around them. Nobody can do to you anything that God doesn't allow. Don't be afraid of them. You're already hid in eternity in Christ in Ephesians 2:15 and 16. When somebody wants you to fear them, it's only because they're trying to replace God in your life. Why do people threaten people to manipulate them? Very frequently, why do people react at people? To manipulate them. Why do people yell at people? To manipulate them. Why are people unkind to people? To manipulate them. Don't accept that. They're trying to play God in your life. You're not afraid of them. You have all the protection of God. In Psalm 136 and verse 5, to him that by wisdom made the heavens, for his mercy endures forever. Well, his mercy necessarily endures forever because the finished work of Christ in Revelation 13:8 is the foundation of the universe. Now, since wisdom is from God, it contains his nature and it's entered by John 15:5. Keep yourself in the love of God. Keep the word of God in your frame of reference. That's where wisdom becomes practical in our lives. We keep ourselves in the love of God. We keep the word of God in our frame of reference. You want to find wisdom? Keep yourself in the love of God. Keep the word of God in your frame of reference. In Proverbs 2:6, the Lord gives wisdom out of his mouth, come knowledge and understanding. In James 1:5, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given. Now, this may be for a moment. In other words, you face a moment when you need wisdom. You face a situation, you have to make a quick decision, you don't know what the right decision is. Ask God. He will give you wisdom in the moment. Just ask him. Or it can also be a process. And that's wisdom for your life and for your eternity. But a lot of people know that they lack wisdom for their lives. So ask him. Often that means he will put you into a process whereby wisdom will be developed. Whereby you will see the love of God in action on your behalf. You will see the word of God in action through application and it will fulfill all that God says it will. You'll see God's faithfulness. These are all elements of wisdom. But not trusting yourself, not leaning on your own understanding, but acknowledging Him in everything, that's required. If you think it's in you, you'll never find it. James 3:15 says, "This wisdom descends not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish." There is a wisdom that originates with the enemy. There is a wisdom that manifests itself in the character of the old sin nature. There are those, the world, who see this as being wisdom. It'll produce things like strife, anger, jealousies, all kinds of negative things, striving, all the things that the world sees as being wise applications are produced by wisdom that is from below. We don't enter into that kind of wisdom. Wisdom from above is first pure, and then it's peaceable. It's gentle. It's easy to be entreated. You ask wisdom from above, and it's responsive. It's full of mercy. It has the fruit of the Holy Spirit. There is no partiality in that. There is no respecter of persons in that. And it's without pretense. It's real. Wisdom is real. One of the reasons, I think, why people don't seek after wisdom, they don't recognize the reality of wisdom. In 1 Corinthians 1:17, we don't speak, Paul said, with wisdom of words. There is a type of pretense that makes itself to appear wise. Sometimes this person will seem very philosophical. Sometimes they seem very thoughtful. And it makes them seem wise. Often this includes things like humanism, sentimentality, emotional thinking. Trying to apply the fads of the world to make themselves look righteous. Wokeness, for example, is this type of a thing. Or the cancel culture is this type of a thing. Virtue signaling. These things are the wisdom of words. But Paul says that where there's the wisdom of words, the cross of Christ is made of none effect. Without the practical function of our oneness with Christ, there is no wisdom. I can make things seem like I'm wise, but it's not wisdom. It's a counterfeit. It's popular because it tantalizes the sin nature. People's carnality is appeased, placated by it. But it's not wisdom. There are those people who say if they cooperate with the world, then the world will leave them alone. Some Christians will say that. That's not wisdom. That's the wisdom of words. It's pretense. Wisdom only comes through the cross. Because it's only at the cross where that which separated us from God is removed and that union that we have with God is established. Therein we find our wisdom. We can't find it apart from Him. It doesn't come apart from Him. In 1 Corinthians 1:30, "By Him you are in Christ, who became to us wisdom from God, and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. So wisdom is a practical function of our relationship with Christ. So it is vital to bring all of our thoughts into subjection to the Word of God in 2 Corinthians 10:5, so that we can experience that union that we have with Him in 1 Corinthians 2:16. When this is present, wisdom will be expressed. Proverbs 1:20, wisdom cries out, wisdom will be expressed. But conversely, when this is absent, an absence of wisdom is also expressed and will be expressed. If it's demonic, it will be expressed. Wisdom is always expressed. The type of wisdom you have will always find an expression. If you want to have happiness in your life, you need wisdom from above. People look for happiness through wisdom that is in the world. But the world can't provide wisdom. Not real wisdom. If you want to have happiness, you have to find wisdom. If you want to have peace, you have to find wisdom. If you want to have success, you have to find wisdom. If you want to have good relationships, you have to find wisdom. No matter what it is that you want, if it is something that God gives, you have to find wisdom, because wisdom is the most important, the premier thing. In anybody's relationship to God, wisdom comes first. Colossians 2:3 says, "In Christ are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." Do you have wisdom? Ask yourself. It's an important question. Everything is based on this. Do you have wisdom? If you don't, find it. Amen? If you've never accepted Jesus as your Savior and you don't know where you're going to go when you die, simply pray, "Dear Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I receive you as my Savior. Thank you for loving me so much that you died for me so I can have eternal life with you. Amen."